Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Massive week in hoops. What's your highlight, Buddy?
Well, in the WNBL, I think it was a bit of a low light for me. I was disappointed with the Perth Lynx. They're copying Canberra. Canberra on the second leg of the Doomsday Double had to play in Adelaide an overtime game, which would have taken it out of them. Then they've got to fly over to Perth. And Perth, this is their chance to stay in the race for the top four, get beaten by 17 points pretty comprehensively, shot 28% from the floor. Really disappointed with that. I thought I really expected more from Perth. Great job by Canberra showing why they're the champions. What about yourself? There was no game by Southside, so what's your highlight from the WNBL? This will be interesting.
Oh, I didn't watch anything, mate. If the Flyers aren't playing, I just thought... No, I'm joking. I'm so joking. I watched it, and I actually thought it was great. For me, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this with Body on the other line. Adelaide, back-to-back wins. Great game. Great game. They by winning back-to-back, not only was it two great wins, you beat the Sydney Flames, which now you push them a game lower. To me, and I saw your great article in bodynodge.com, BOTINAGY.com, how you said the fourth set, you can't see it changing two-thirds the way through the season. Lightning, back-to-back wins, knocking the Flames down. Great job by them.
Let's talk about the NBL. What was your highlight there? There's been so much going on.
Well, can you go against Scotty Hobson, the Dagger Man? Now, I caught a couple of games this round, both New Zealand games, mind you, as well. And that Brisbane game down by 16, and it's 96 all, and he's got the ball in his hands and hits a three, and that was phenomenal. Then he backed it up in a brilliant display in Adelaide. I thought Jerome Randall was good, but I want to talk about your team a bit later because they're struggling. But I have to say, great back-to-back wins by a very well-balanced team in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. They're since with a different personnel and some changes, and Scotty Hobson coming back really substantial, because I've said this to you before, he's got to be in any conversation about the best new imports in our league. So his return is huge.
What was your highlight?
I like that one right there, Brad, but I also was just so impressed with Bryce Cotton. You know, whenever the challenge is put to him as to, are you the best player in this league, he just basically goes out and shuts everybody up. That 18-point last quarter, I know that the margin, the final margin of Perth's win over Sydney, 13 points, was probably inflated given that even with a couple of minutes to go, there wasn't a lot in it. But, geez, he was huge. He just made big shot after big shot. And this is after Casper Ware's put on a show. I thought what Bryce Cotton did was just show the world that when a challenge is put to him, he's really up to it every time.
And I love watching Bryce Cotton's face because it is like you've saw, I don't know what you've done. You shot someone, his family or something. You know, he's like, he gets that, he's nice, and then he's just that assassin. Like, what did you just say to me? What did you just do? And he just looks around, and that last three that he hit to make his 39th point just sort of looked at the Sydney crowd and gone, yeah, you know that. And that's for you, and sort of walks off. And then he comes to the camera and goes, man, you're phenomenal. And he gets the interview and he goes, oh, no, my teammates were good. Come on, Bryce, you just dropped 39, mate.
Yeah. I know, he's a terrific team man. And, I like that fact that he seems to take it personally. It's
love
personal
it.
For him. Yeah, that sort of passion. Look, in any conversation about the greatest Wildcats of all time, he has got to be in that conversation and very prominently the way he's traveling at the moment.
WNBL rap time.
Body, you and I have discussed it. What we're going to do is we're going to change this up a little bit where we're going to talk about the teams the next round. And then, you know, we felt that we wanted to give the viewers a little bit something different and the listeners that we're getting. I think we're up to four now. I think my mum's friend got on there accidentally and hit the podcast. So we're up to four. No, we're getting good. And thank you for all our feedback that we're getting as well. It's great. So we'll talk about this round that's been. And at the moment, we got wins and we said Adelaide had a double win. Melbourne Boom as well. Townsville were nothing for them. And we expected that. Bendigo Spirit. Now, we both picked them, if I'm not mistaken, to beat Townsville. Did we not at home?
Yes, we did. Yep.
Good. Yep. Capitals beating Perth. You've already mentioned that. So I want to talk about this week's rounds and then we'll go through that. So first off, Bendigo at home against the Capitals to bounce back strong.
Yes. Tick.
Townsville Fire playing Adelaide in Townsville. Adelaide way too happy, way too settled. Very well coached, by the way. I want to elaborate a little bit. Can you what your thoughts on the coach? Because I thought some of the sets that he runs, I was watching that game. Well, shout out to my man, Matty Russell, and I saw Cam Chagar was there as well calling games for the WNBL. So shout out to my boys there. I love those two, and it was great to have them on the commentary with the GOAT, Susie Bakovic. And, I was impressed by Adelaide, the way they played and their coach. I like him, buddy.
Yeah, he's a very meticulous planner. He doesn't leave a lot to chance. He will know everything the other team does intimately, and we'll have counters for it. He's a guy that cares a lot about his players. Susie Batkovic, who won a couple of championships with him up in Townsville, would be happy to tell you that she's glad that he's in Adelaide because she's able to get over her caffeine addiction, because he'd be taking her out to coffee all the time. So, he's always doing that. He's always meeting with his players, just wanting to see where they are, how they're feeling, what's going on, and just staying on top of everything. I think, once again, they've managed to assemble a good side, but its strength is the fact that it's a team, and the way they play as a team. Like, you don't particularly need anyone to get you 40, but on a given night, somebody might be able to get you 25, 30, and there's a couple of players that can do that. But I think he likes that six players in double figures and low double figures rather than, you know, two getting 30 and everybody else doing very little. So, yeah, his way of playing, the way they move the ball, running up the floor, their defensive sets, the way they hustle, they're just fun to watch. They're the most fun team to watch in Adelaide, I'm afraid, if you're a basketball fan, because they are a team. You said you wanted to talk about the 36ers at some point. Let's make it now. They're ugly to watch.
Yeah, they are, buddy. I'm not sure what's going on with them. And I called their game yesterday, and Andrew Gaze brought up a good point in what he said. And I'm sorry about listeners, we're jumping around, but I agree with you. Let's talk about him. For Adelaide, like, Jerome Randall is like an MVP type player. I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but he's just so good. And he was good yesterday. But it just seems like there's just something wrong with that team. I don't know what it is. And Daniel Johnson, you look at his numbers and they're outstanding, but it's sort of like you get to the end of the game and go, geez, Daniel Johnson didn't do much. And then he's like 20 and 10.
Yeah. And The bigs are soft.
And I feel like,
just say it, they're soft.
Yeah. And I feel like when he gets the ball in the block, he's looking to pass first. And it's like, man, just, he is so strong down there. Like, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has the most points since we went to a 40-minute game again. I know it's the second time. I think that'd be right. Like, it's something like that. He's phenomenal, player. But the way this team's built, they need more from him.
Well, you see, the thing is that you get it on the block, and there, a lot of the time you'll see him do the fadeaway, go to the baseline side and do a fadeaway jump shot. I'd rather prefer him to sort of fake inside and then maybe drop step and dunk. Have you ever seen him do that?
No.
I mean, the guy's 6'11 and he's an athlete. Why doesn't he do that?
Yeah.
You know, I think Eric Griffin is an enigma. I don't think he can play legitimate defense. I think
Agreed.
He's a fantastic athlete. He can block shots. He can help out. But the amount of times that someone, I'm thinking back to the Cairns game, DJ Newble drives on him and then just hesitates. So he straightens up, and then he could, you know, Griffin straightens up and Newble just lays it up. It's like, come on, man, you're better than that, surely. So there's, and Harry Froling, he just comes on. He's got a foul straight away just for walking on.
Yep.
He's welcome to the game, have a foul. So, I mean, the referees treat him badly, but he also does do some dumb things. You've got a situation where their bigs are not reliable. I'm not as huge a fan of Jerome as a winner as I am of Jerome as a player. I think he's a sensational player.
Yeah, fair call.
You know, I'd like to see his team winning. And I think that's what you judge players by. That's what we judge Bryce Cotton by. That's what we judge Casper Ware by. That's why what we're judging Mello Trimble by at the moment, and he's coming up a bit short, Mello. So
it's a good strategy that you're saying, or good options. And for me, like, when I look at Adelaide, I feel that, you know, the players that they needed to step up, like a Drimmick and like a Froling, I think they're having okay years, but this team needed to have outstanding years. And they haven't got that yet. They could, and they very may well get there. But they're just not at that level at the moment where, you know, you'll have Jerome doing what he is, and it's just not enough for them. That's as simple as it is. They have not got enough.
Let's go with this. Their best is very good, but pulling it together on a consistent basis. We're just not seeing that. And when it comes to, we've had this conversation before about trust. At what point can you trust a team? I think at this point we can trust New Zealand, we can trust Cairns, obviously we can trust Sydney and Perth. But Adelaide's in that category of, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get from week to week. Whereas, how about this for a segue, Brad? Whereas the Lightning, very consistent, give you that teamwork game after game. And that's why I favour them to beat Townsville on the road.
Yeah, it's great. And you look at Adelaide, the Lightning, and they had, it was four players in double figures with, I think, Turner on nine. And I loved what Laura Hodges brings them. Do you know, I think she played 14, 15 odd minutes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, nice little bank shots and finishes and passes. And you just can't replace a veteran like that.
Okay.
And I thought they were brilliant.
Let's put that in context. Laura hasn't played a lot of minutes because her lateral quickness, that's the first thing that goes when you get a bit older. But
yes,
putting her in against Lauren Scherf, who's bigger but not terribly mobile, that was a stroke of genius.
Yes.
And that also allowed her to run into a little bit of form and a little bit of confidence so that going forward, I mean, she hasn't played many minutes up to now, and a couple of times.
I know she's had the baby, and then she was out, was it injury? Or she was out for a year or whatever it was, but it's been a long time.
For a year with injury, then another year with the baby. So she's been effectively 2 years, and at 36, that's probably not the best time you want to be out 2 years.
Yeah.
And so she struggled to pick up the tempo, but that was a game where she could, because she was up against a similar style girl in terms of movement, and her quickness there was effective, and she was able to be the Laura that we know. Now, that's hopefully going forward, we're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, good point. Okay, so we both get Adelaide to win in Townsville. South side Flyers, my team, South side Flyers double this weekend in Perth. Let's just skip that one because we both know South side are going to win that one. Agree?
Correct.
Yes. Great. Adelaide in Adelaide. Now, that is going to be a beauty. Now, the only downside is they're both coming from far away. So Adelaide coming from Townsville, and South side coming from Perth. So it will be tough, but they do have a day break at least.
That's right. So they're equally disadvantaged, and they're travelling on the Saturday. The game is on the Sunday. I don't think you can factor that in. I think we've just got to go, okay, they're both in the same situation there.
Yep.
So, that's going to be a very interesting game of basketball. I'm just going to lean to Adelaide. This is a heart decision more than a head. The head would say, Southside are 12-2, have already beaten Adelaide in Adelaide. So maybe it's a foolish decision, but you know, I just feel they've got a little bit of momentum happening, Adelaide, and this is one they'd want to. If they get this one, then I think they genuinely are a really nice darky for the championship.
Well, you picked Adelaide, and I hate agreeing with you, right? I just hate that. And South side of my team, and you know, I think Adelaide playing well. So I'm just going to go against you because that's what I want to do. So I'm going to South side.
And I've worked out why. You never liked Dandenong, but you do like Southside because of the light blue and white colours, which is New South Wales, isn't it? Isn't that New South Wales colours?
Boom, boom, drop the mic.
Yeah, we've worked it out. It took a few weeks, blues. Folks, but we worked it
That's
out.
Why I don't call on the Flyers, mate. Go the Blues. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Capitals at home versus Perth. Moving on, Capitals to win. Perth are the Illawarra Hawks right now for you, aren't they, for the NBL?
It's just disappointing. When you've got the opportunity, you have to seize it, not let it go.
Flames at home against Boomers. I think it'll be a good game, but I'm swaying towards the Boomers.
Yeah, we had good performance from Alice Kunick and in the last game when they lost to Adelaide. And there's a few players that are, you know, trying to do more than what they've usually been expected to. But the loss of Colleen Planetta now to an ACL, that pretty much, for me, ends their season. You've got Brittany Smart out as well. That's two significant players. I can see Sydney having the odd great game where they, you know, they do what you said about Brisbane in the NBL a couple of weeks ago, where you always know there's that game in them where they're going to get a major scalp. But I'm not sure that this will be that one. I'm going with Melbourne as well.
Yeah, I agree. And should mention Alex Kunick as well, 26 points. She was brilliant. She was brilliant on the weekend. But good win by Adelaide.
It's NBL Wrap Time.
Well, NBL Wrap Time. And as we know, round 13 continues, Boddy. We spoke about this last week and there's still a few games to go. We've got New Year's Eve games, Illawarra versus Sydney. Cairns versus Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and then on Wednesday, the 1st of January, to round out round 13, Adelaide-Perth, Adelaide at home for their double home game this weekend. But let's talk Illawarra-Sydney. Will this be a cricket score? Sydney to win.
No, gee, Sydney to win. Well, didn't you say that last week when they were playing Perth? I don't.
You didn't cut out.
Yes. Okay. So for the benefit of the listeners,
Sydney did win. If you take out 39 from Bryce Cotton, man, was he good?
Yes,
wow.
He was rather good. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm still not entirely over the line with Sydney. I think we're in the games where they have lost. I haven't liked the way they've lost. You know, it's just a personal thing. So, I mean, I rate Illawarra now that circumstances have changed. I think sacking Bill Preston was a huge thing to do. It was a three strikes, you're out situation. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they said family reasons. I mean, people don't need bullshit in this day and age. Just say the guy missed three practices or three team events. One, two, three strikes, goodbye. Because I think that message was sent very strongly to Darrington and Hobson.
What about the other way of saying it? We've made a change, or say the truth, number one. Or number two, we're going to play the kids. We're going to play the kids. Now, whether or not he's done, we've made a decision. We want him to go home. We've got some great kids here. We know we're not going to make the playoffs, and I know you shouldn't really say that, but we're looking at next year. Yep. Just say it, because that's what it's got.
Fans will embrace that. Fans will embrace that. They want to see those kids.
And I know what fans will embrace it, the Illawarra Hawks fans, because they love that.
Yes.
But can I say to you, buddy, whilst I love what Illawarra are doing and I do love their players, and I've got a soft spot for Illawarra because I've called many games over there the last six seasons that I've been commentating, mate, they still are not a very good team. And the Sydney Kings have just been taken to the cleaners by Bryce Cotton and the Perth Wildcats. I think the Kings are coming out and kicking them tomorrow night. On New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right, because I'd like to see that.
No, you don't.
Sydney. Yeah,
don't
no,
say
I'd like to see that from Sydney.
Like Sydney.
Well, I don't dislike Sydney. I just dislike the way they've lost. Five games they've lost. There hasn't been one where I've thought, they're a bit unlucky. They're a bit stiff. I've just thought, yeah, fair enough. The other team just did a better job. So, you know, you measure some teams by their ability to win ugly, and also their ability to sort of when they do lose, that you want to see that they've played it to the end. And see, even the last game, it was pretty tight towards the end. The 13-point margin of the loss to Perth was not indicative of the game, but there it is. It's blown out. I don't like that.
You're fair. And for Illawarra, well, they lost by 10 to the Phoenix, but the problem is the Phoenix scored 112. I mean, it was an absolute track meet. Yeah. They couldn't stop a bus at a bus stop, either team.
Okay, but see, one thing, again, with sacking Preston, I think Hobson played his best game since he's joined the club. It's almost like, oh, these guys are for real. I better extract the digit, because I thought he played quite a decent game against the Phoenix. So,
well, can I jump in there for you? What does he give them that you don't get from a kid that's playing? Like, I like Hobson. I think there's a room for him in any team, but I just don't like. I just think he's taking minutes off someone at the moment that, you know, it's very slow ball. Well, I didn't like that Emmett Nahr didn't start, and I thought that hurt them, especially at the beginning of that third quarter, where Southeast Melbourne Phoenix came out and went bang, 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 bang on the back of Mitch Creek, who is going to do that.
Yes.
And they weren't ready for that. And I like Preston, Hobson, but I just was like, I don't know. I just don't know what he brings them that they don't really have from the kids, except that, you know, he's obviously played a lot more and more settled. Thoughts?
Agree with you 100%, which I hate doing. So I really want to move on, but I'm going to elaborate. I think you're right. I think they get just as much from their own group, and they would be better off developing him. But if you've committed to this guy and he's given you a couple of games where he's, you know, had the slump shoulders and didn't really rush back on defense too much, and that's the moment you get rid of him. But if you've stuck with him and he's now seen Preston get the axe, and has played a much better game against the Phoenix, I think, all right, well, maybe he's still got something to offer in terms of experience that will help the younger guys, you know, at practice, whatever. All I'm saying is right now, they're probably in better shape than they have been for a while. And let's move on, because we both know Sydney's still going to kill them.
Yeah, good move. Okay, right, this one. Well, I'm really looking forward to this. 8 p.m. New Year's Eve, Cairns at home versus the Phoenix. Massive ramifications for the top four. This is going to be the game of the round for me. Yeah, only three games now, but yeah, brilliant.
But it's huge also in Cairns. It's a big event, the New Year's Eve game. It's a big event in the Cairns community. But let's just remember that only a week or two ago, Cairns had them by 6 points with 12 seconds in regulation. down in Melbourne, and Robertson comes and pulls out that amazing performance that he did to force that game into overtime, where they win in overtime. So I think Cairns has got a point to make, and this again will be an absolute cracker, but I'm favouring the home side to get them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And then speaking of favouring the hometown, Adelaide playing against Perth on New Year's Day, I'm actually calling that one, and that's one game I will not be favouring the home team. Perth to win that for me.
Yeah, I'm afraid I've got to agree. I can't see anyone stopping Bryce Cotton. The only way Perth lose that game is if they come ill-prepared. If they were really up to get Sydney, and now they sort of take a mental breathe out, you know, exhale, sort of like, okay, we've got that done. And then maybe Adelaide catches them. But Adelaide's not playing well enough to allow you to sort of think that that is a genuine possibility. And Perth is too experienced, really, to make that sort of mistake. So, yeah, Perth.
Okay, that rounds out round 13, which means that would be the last game of the decade, the one before that, by New Year's Day. So, because that's New Year's Day. But I'm going to throw something at you, and it's probably a stupid question because everyone's going to say the same thing. The best team of the decade. Can you go anywhere close other than Perth?
No. Yeah. You win five out of the 10. That's 50%. Yeah. That means everybody else got the other five.
Righto. I'm going to throw another one at you. Best player of the decade.
Kevin Lish. There's a guy who's won a Larry Sengstock medal. Nice. He's won two MVPs. He has been the man in a couple of different programs, Perth, Illawarra, Sydney. I think I'm thinking Kevin Lish at his peak during the decade. Not now, where he's an older man and he's a little bit hampered by soft tissue injuries and that sort of thing, as tends to happen towards the tail end of your career. But if you're talking the entire decade, we take 10 years off and work our way back. Lish was just the toughest, hard-ass.
Great, cool. All right, so let's throw it out to all our people out there. Feel free to get us at on our Twitter or Instagram anytime you want and throw someone else that is better than Kevin Lish, because I'm with you. The only two that I'll throw out, team guys. I'm not saying if it was a one-on-one, but I could not separate Mika Vekona and Damian Martin. If I was building a team of the decade and wanted two guys, I could not split those two because they are just flat-out winners.
I could absolutely, unfortunately, have to agree with you, but we have to qualify what we're saying. Are we saying who was the best player of the decade, which for me is Lish, or who were the best team men, or are we naming five? You know, so there's various ways of looking at it, but if you say who was the standout.
There comes your journalist crap. I just wanted to throw it out there, and here you go at me, but just no. Oh, hang on, Brad, is it even? I know,
Who needs criteria?
Oh, God, just don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. How many times have I told you that as a journalist?
Yeah, many times. That was my big mistake. That's why I only lasted four decades.
See, you could have got five. Yeah, okay, I'm going to throw round 14. I'm just going to whiz through these because the next time Brad and Body podcast on, these games would have been played. So we're starting at Cairns get a home game again against Brisbane. Cairns or Brisbane?
Oh, Cairns.
I'm with you. Illawarra at home versus Melbourne.
Melbourne.
God, I'm with you on that one too. Sydney Kings at home versus Adelaide.
Sydney.
Oh, now the only thing I'll say is Adelaide play really well in Sydney.
They lost by 32.
Yes, but that was, didn't they just come back from overseas? Yeah, it was different. They just came back from the NBA. I'm trying to help your guys, man. Come on. Phoenix at home versus the Breakers. Two teams again. Phoenix have got some games coming up against teams in the buying for the four. So I'm going to go Phoenix sneaking home against the Breakers on the back that I think Mitch Creek taking care of Scotty Hobson.
I'm going the other way. I think Scotty Hobson will take care of Mitch Creek.
Okay. Bullets at home versus Perth.
Oh, and they've beaten Perth before. This season, that is a tough game. I'm going to go. Oh, geez, I'll take a punt on Brisbane.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm going Brisbane. So that means Perth are going to win. Good luck, punters. Adelaide at home versus Illawarra. Well, let's paint the wall and watch that dry. That's going to be a fun game, isn't it? So Adelaide to win that. and win. Oh God, I was going to say win easy, but you can't with Illawarra.
No, you can't. Oh, also, bear in mind when LaMelo Ball missed the last game, the commentary from Wollongong was that his return game would be January 6th against Adelaide. So yeah. If that's still to be correct, I mean, we're doing this early, but
was in a boot. He was in a boot the last home game.
Right. Well,
so I don't know. Who knows?
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
Look, I don't think Melbourne United can win the championship this season unless Melo Trimble wakes up to the fact that Chris Gording is the best player on that team and needs to have the ball in his hands. I noticed this in the Perth game, which they won handsomely a couple of weeks ago, that there was a lot of pick and roll run between Melo and Sean Long. A lot of drives by Melo to the hoop, a lot of shots by Melo, not a lot of assists by Melo. And look, the reality is that two seasons ago when Melbourne United won the championship, they had a pretty decent point guard named Casper Ware. They had a pretty decent centre named Josh Boone. And they also had a pretty decent other import called Casey Prather. And the Larry Sengstock medalist as the best player in the year and MVP of the grand final and championship series was Chris Gording. All right, so we've got to start recognizing that Chris Gording has to have the ball. I hear the commentators saying a lot, he needs to be more aggressive. He needs to be CG43. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. He needs a bloody ball. Get the ball into his hands.
Uh-oh. Rosen's rattler.
Well, my rattler this week is a little bit out there because I want to talk about mental health. Now, I hear all the time about sportsmen that are struggling with mental health, and I'm going to say most of it right now, if not all of it, is bloody social media. Because I know as whether it be professional sportsmen, whether it be journalists, whether it be commentators, whether it be whatever, you can go and have and talk on social media and say what you want. But I am concerned of what people read on social media. Body, for you and I, and you know, we've been in the media for a long time, mate, say what you want on social media. We've been there and done that, right? Absolutely. You have to. But I'm talking about, you know, cricketers. We've seen a lot of that lately. I'm talking about young basketballers that, you know, will do things wrong in a game, and they will then get criticized on social media. How is that good? How is this good that people hide behind their keyboards and say what they want to say to people and then think, I have the right to say that? I feel for these players.
Yep.
Look, I think I'm very concerned about it, and I think people need to talk about it.
Yep. Well, I think social media has done something which is very, look, as wonderful as it is, it's any new thing, there'll always be a dark side to it as well. Once upon a time, you left a basketball game, a footy game, a cricket game, whatever. You went home with your mates, or you went down the pub, had a few drinks, you bitched and moaned about this player and that player, and then you went home and you got over it. But now social media gives you a forum to actually tell the public what you think, and hell, everybody's interested in everybody's opinion. And some of the stuff that gets put on social media is appalling. And if I was a young athlete, I would stay right away from it. I mean, yeah, it's easy to say. It's easy to say, but, you know, when you know that people are talking about you, you want to know, what are they saying? So,
here's what I'd like to propose, right? And it's not going to happen. Someone's saying, let's say, someone missed a shot, and someone goes, oh, man, you know, like, get him out of the game. I don't know who it is. What about when he does something right, say something good?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make you feel better and a player feel better? Now, yeah, you're going to smash social media going, you know, Brad Rosenbody, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. But there is people's lives.
And they've got that
lives.
Half right, Brad. They've got that half right.
Well, they are idiots. Well, we are idiots. So I got and you're the half, by the way, that is the idiot. Can I just add that?
Just leave that open.
Thank you for putting that straight through to the keeper. But I am concerned, and I think something's got to be done about it. And that's my Rosen rattler.
And it's a damn good one to finish the year on too, because it is a problem. And I think it needs to be addressed.
Right, Boddy, I want to throw one last thing at you before we close off for the decade. Last week we spoke about most improved players in the NBL. I want to throw at you MVPs for the WNBL.
Candidates? Okay.
I got two. Who
all you right, got? Well, let's hear yours. Because I know that WNBL is not your strength, so I'm interested to see if who you've got.
Well, it is going to shock you. Because they are not from the Flames. They are not from Adelaide. They're not from Perth. They're the Blues. Southside.
Of course.
Jenna O'Hay.
Yeah, having a great season. Yep. Okay. So, they're definitely in it. Yep, definitely in it.
Anyone else in the chat?
I'd look at Brianna Turner in Adelaide. I think she's having a good season when the referees don't act like clowns around her. I think Lindsay Allen at Melbourne Boomers is travelling along quite nicely. Katie Ray Ebsery in Perth is having a very good personal season, but the team isn't, so I don't know if that'll work against her. Yeah, same with Alice Kunick. I think she's having a good season with Sydney, but Sydney's not travelling too well. I don't really see anybody in Bendigo or Townsville. But, I do like Kia Nurse and Mariana Tolo in Canberra as well. So I think they're all in the conversation. Definitely Mercedes Russell and Jenna O'Hay. Wow. Shouldn't I have guessed that you were going to go with a couple of Southside people? Jeez. No, I feel bad. I feel like I've let the decade down as we leave it.
Mate, I left decades down before. Don't worry about it, mate. It's quite common. Body, I wish you a very, very happy new year to all our listeners. I wish you guys a happy new year. Remember, this is new for Body and I. We're having an absolute ball doing our podcast. For the four listeners, thank you for subscribing. To the other people that may have accidentally pressed subscribe because we have more, it's great. Thanks for doing that as well. Yep. It is. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Please, as we always say, subscribe, like, review, and follow us on Twitter. Don't forget the best writer in the world, of course, bodynodge.com, BOTI. In the world. Come on.
Jeez.
Next decade, you might not be, but this decade, you are. That's true. BOTINAGY.com for everything that you need to know. Body, you're a legend. Happy New Year to you and your family and to everyone out there. Have a safe New Year, and we'll see you next decade.